All right, we are live. Welcome to episode 126 of Lunar Crush Live. Today we are doing cameras off, so you get to see the cool avatars that Lunar Crush has made us team members over here. I am Ian Tidwell. I work over here at Lunar Crush, a bit of an NFT nerd over here. So I'm excited for today's chat with Gammy, who's the founder of NarsDAO. We're going to dive into everything that they're doing over there to support extreme athletes. Next week, we've got some fun live streams coming up. Our co-founder, John, will be talking to Spirit Punks. They are the creators of Doge Vodka, the world's first NFT-driven spirit release. We actually got to hang out with those guys at the LA Blockchain Summit last week. They're working on some really cool stuff. So that will be a good one. And all right, let's run this intro and we'll bring Gammy up and talk about NarsDAO. Here we go. All right, Gammy, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really well, thanks. I'm still in London, as you might be able to tell from my accent. I'm from Australia, and I'm dying to get back to summer and the sunshine, to be truly honest with you.
Yeah, man. Is it pretty chilly out there right now?
Yeah, London, I guess in the scheme of things compared to where I'm from, it's pretty cold. But I just, yeah, wasn't prepared for how much it rains here. I've enjoyed it though. No shade to the Londoners.
Yeah. Yeah. I spent a couple years ago, I spent the winter in London and, yeah, definitely lots of rain. Don't know if I plan to be back in that part of the world, during the winter time again, anytime soon. I'm here in Southern California. So we're used to not a lot of cold, so I feel you on that one. Well, thanks for coming on. I'm really excited to talk about what you guys are doing over at NarsDAO. But before we kind of jump into that stuff, maybe can you talk a little bit about kind of your background and who you are and how you kind of got into crypto?
Yeah, for sure. I've been in crypto full time for about 6 years. I've contributed to a number of different DAOs over the years and different communities. Main focus for me, sort of 2017 onwards, was NFTs. I suppose I fell a little bit down the rabbit hole after finding CryptoKitties, as a lot of people did. And then found my way into on-chain art and took a really deep interest in that side of things. And one day, while scrolling through my friend Emre's website, 0xchain.art, I actually came across Nouns. And then since, yeah, the end of last year and the beginning of this year, I've been extremely Nouns-pilled. And I've been building in the space, yeah, as a Nouner, Noun 189 and Noun 401, and have since founded NarsDAO, Ting's DAO, Forgeries Protocol, and a couple of other things. So I'm about as nounish as it gets.
I like it. So maybe let's start with that, because NARS is a kind of a branch of Nouns. What is Nouns, and what attracted you so much to that project? I mean, if CryptoKitties was kind of your entrance into crypto and NFTs, I mean, that's pretty early on. So you were probably watching a lot of the other projects come up around the same time, with Bored Apes and some of the other, you know, OG projects. So what is Nouns, and why is that so attractive to you?
For sure. So I guess the way that I try to describe Nouns is as an internet collective. I think there's a lot of sort of toil that goes on in trying to explain what a DAO is. So I just try to put it into terms that I'm more familiar with from my own personal life, and hopefully others are too. So when I think of nouns, I think of an internet collective who've pooled their funds together to fund all sorts of creative stuff. The way that we pool our funds together at Nouns is we run a daily auction. It goes for 24 hours and it's for a noun NFT. Those NFTs are fully on-chain, so there's no IPFS links or anything like that. The artwork is generated by the contracts and is completely on-chain and relies on nothing but Ethereum. And what's special about Nouns as NFTs is that they have special governance rights within Nouns DAO. So we currently have a treasury of around 30,000 Ethereum, and there's around 500 and odd nouns, and each of those counts as a vote in governance. And if you have two nouns or more, you can also submit proposals. And so what happens is people gather around ideas. Those ideas end up on chain. We vote on those ideas, and then once they're funded, we see them through to getting built. So there's been all sorts of interesting things from naming a rare species of frog and helping out with the rainforest charity, right through to putting the noggles on a beer can with Budweiser and doing a Bud Light beer commercial during the Super Bowl. We're doing work with Stupid Buddy, who are the studio famous for creating Robot Chicken, founded by Seth Green and a few other guys. We're doing stuff with them for the Rose Day Parade later this year in LA. And I guess it's an experiment more than anything, it's an experiment in coordination and capital allocation and building an open source brand. So I guess what sort of people have been saying recently is they think of the noggles, like the little glasses you can see on my noun, that they're kind of becoming like the Nike swoosh of Web3. So that's something to aspire to, but mostly for us, it's really just about being around people we enjoy and creating cool stuff together. A lot of those things are considered public goods as well. So whether that's different protocols on Ethereum or fixing up, public infrastructure that we can help, with funding. There's all sorts of things along those lines, all for positivity and for the public commons and the greater good. I think that was the end of the question, right? We were talking about what nouns is.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's super helpful to just kind of understand, the birth of where all of this came from. I have followed nouns for a while. It's a little bit out of my price range now, being that the floor price is pretty high, and something definitely that I want to collect as well. I want to talk a little bit about, linger on this for a moment, and how the community kind of rallies around this project specifically. Do you think that it's a little bit easier to achieve things with this project, being that the community is a little bit smaller, right? You said I think it's just over 500 nouns are out there. And do you feel that that helps the community kind of focus on initiatives to be a part of?
Yeah, I think like if you reflect on like other crypto and NFT projects, it's all very crazy and maniacal, There's like not much sort of a cadence that people can really find sustainable, Everything's like jumping from one thing to the next. You've got huge volumes of activity. You've got mountains of NFTs launched at once with people buying many at a time, and it sort of just gets like, a little bit falls prey to this sort of like Ponzinomics that's sort of like pretty common within a lot of crypto projects. But what really attracted me to Nouns, other than like the technical side of it, and also like the visuals created by artists such as Gremplin, E-Boy, Timpers, and then 4156 and the other guys who founded the project. The other thing that appeals to me is how they've sort of slowed everything down. It's one noun every day forever, and there's no stopping it. It's a protocol on Ethereum, and it's doing its thing. So I guess in terms of like working together as a DAO, not necessarily the fact that it's a smaller group that really helps us like achieve things. I think it's more just the fact that we're able to pace ourselves a little bit more. That's been really huge for me in terms of keeping to a sustainable sort of model where, as a contributor to a DAO, I feel like I can actually keep up. But we have grown pretty fast, and there's a lot of different sub communities, a lot of different efforts within the core group of the DAO. And then I guess too, early on in the project, as nouns have always attracted quite a high price. Like at the moment, they're going for around 40 ETH, but like both of my nouns were sort of like 90 and 95 ETH. Some have gone for as high as 600 plus, in the really early days. We see some of the particular meme numbers going for higher amounts, like noun 69 and noun 420, which is, just part of the sort of crypto culture that we're a part of. But I guess like when you think about how we're currently structured, smaller does sort of lend itself to certain things, but then other things are better off with bigger groups. And through some of those learnings in the early days of Nouns, different people did proposals to form different groups. So we had groups like Small Grants, which is now known as Noun Strategic Funding Works, I think, and also Prop House, which allow people who don't own Nouns to propose ideas. And what we've seen in recent months, the project's over a year old now, is a lot of proposals come in from people that are not nouners, not people that own nouns. And they've been just as impactful and quite often more impactful than those that are done by the core group. So we're sort of at this transitionary stage now where we're trying to demonstrate to people that it's a very accessible and inclusive community as opposed to being an exclusive community. So I think the smaller group sort of focuses on different projects compared to like the broader community, which is, anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people getting involved at certain points throughout the project. So it's an exciting time. Nonetheless.
Yeah, I it's cool to think about that, so you've got this like core group and then these branch off sub communities almost. And so I guess that's a good transition. So you said if you have two nouns, you can submit proposals, and you had mentioned that you do have two nouns. So I'm assuming that you submitted a proposal to spin up NarsDAO. Is that kind of how Nars kind of came to life?
Yeah, so Proposal 51 is what brought NarsDAO to the world. Back then, you only needed one noun to submit an on-chain proposal. That's since increased to two, and that's because it's on a basis point structure, so a percentage of the total supply. Much like our voting, quorum is set based on a percentage of the supply. But back at Proposal 51, I'd purchased Noun 189, the skateboard head that you see on the screen. I'd purchased that just a few months or maybe a couple of months before submitting the proposal. And I'd already been tinkering with the idea of forking nouns, and I'd done some testnet forks and sort of played with some different ideas. But at that point, I knew that Nouns was facing some troubles with capital allocation that were sort of related to the fact that we're such a broadly focused organization when we have, so many different projects from different areas and different industries and, different communities and all around the world. So I recognized that there was a need for domain specificity and the sort of like domain expertise that comes with different subcultures. And throughout my life, I've been very involved in skateboarding. As a younger guy, I was, on the odd magazine cover. I've run a large skateboarding community in my home country long before crypto. And I guess it was just the perfect opportunity for me to apply what it is that nouns can do with funding public goods to a subculture that I care deeply about. And so I proposed that that we get 69 ETH to seed our treasury, and I forked nouns and created NAS, and we are essentially dedicated to supporting the artistry of extreme athletes. And today we've got 12 pro extreme athletes from skateboarding, skiing, snowboarding, scooter riding, inline skating on our team. Some of the people on our team are very well-known athletes. Some have won European and world championships, and some, in our film. And we've also been very fortunate to have a really great impact in Brazil, and our community is growing really fast there. And so much so that we attracted the attention of Bob Burnquist, who, if you've ever played Tony Hawk Pro Skater, you'll recognize the name. But yeah, he actually has voted in our governance and is essentially a member of the DAO. So it's like crazy childhood dreams coming true for me, but it's much more about the impact that we're having in the real world by sort of mobilizing through events and helping do things like refurbishing skate parks in places that usually can't get the kind of assistance financially that they need.
That's awesome. Okay, so a lot to unpack here. So, I mean, first off, the extreme sport industry has always been an interesting thing, right? So, if just the traditional business model, an athlete is typically required to go out and get sponsorships, whether that's clothing or gear for the specific sport that they're doing, and those sponsors will help pay to travel to different competitions and create music video or music video, excuse me, whatever it's the skate videos or surf videos or snowboarding videos, and just help promote, right? And then that athlete is then kind of required to sometimes show up for signings or shill product that that they may or may not want to do. So you kind of identified that we can help support athletes in a different way that they're not always going to be tied to a shoe company or a clothing company. Why do you think that this Web3 approach really revolutionizes that and creates a different layer of opportunity for athletes like this?
Yeah, for sure. I guess like when I was first starting this, I was consulting a lot with my good friend Joe Atkinson. He's one of the top aggressive inline skaters in the world. He's based in the UK. He's won a lot of major competitions, but he's also very influential culturally. He's a stylish guy. He's got a great style on the wheels. He does incredible tricks, and he really does have like a passionate fan base. And we were talking about something called Tour Water, which is the big energy drink brands. Like, nothing against companies that are supporting extreme sports, but we noticed that a lot of these energy drink brands actually have what's called Tour Water for athletes. So you can imagine if you're busting your ass out on the skate park and you're shredding in the heat, you don't really want to drink something that actually dehydrates you, right? You want to drink water, or perhaps water with electrolytes, not a sugary drink. So we started talking about how it's quite interesting that extreme athletes have been put in this position where they're almost required to shill energy drinks to kids. Like, kids are being shilled energy drinks by their heroes in order for their heroes to be able to go to contests and participate, compete, and also travel and make all sorts of interesting content, because it's a content, a creator economy that sort of underpins the extreme sports, no matter what they are. So I guess we first started looking into the expenses that were needed to be covered by people that participate in extreme sports. And quite often those expenses to go to say contests, around the world, are prohibitively expensive for most people. And the fact is, if you don't come first or second, you usually don't even make back what you paid to go to the event in the first place. So there's this kind of dynamic of brands that aren't really native to the industry. They're not producing a good that's used by the athletes that have actually rose to the most prominent places. And those brands have sort of become non-anonymous, sorry, synonymous with the industry. So we've sort of been gathering as a community to rethink how those things are funded. And it's sort of taken multiple iterations and we're evolving all the time. But we've started to realize that there are a lot of public goods that we can help fund that make people who are sort of the leaders in their community in this position where they can become the heroes of their community and give back to their roots and to their beginnings. And that's what we're seeing in places like Brazil with Vlad and Luiz, who's a big wave surfer. They're doing these amazing projects, one I'll touch on a bit later, where they're giving back to their community. They're in a position where they're able to show all their skills as leaders, and they're able to get financial support to do things like refurbish the skate parks that they learned to skate at with, and give out skateboards and equipment to kids that are coming up from their communities where they got started. So we're really rethinking that sort of like grassroots movement and thinking about it in a really industry native way, one that's like specific to the people that take part in the sports, not an extractive sort of model where it's a brand just using those athletes to sell a product. I guess fan engagement between our community of fanatics and enthusiasts and connecting them with the athletes that they know and love is like something that's been really huge for us.
Yeah, it's super cool. So let's talk a little bit about before we go into some of the initiatives that you guys are funding. How does an athlete become a NARS DAO sponsored athlete?
Yeah, good question. So over the last 6 months since we formed the DAO, that has been very different with each proposal that's come in. So at the start, I had a strong connection with Joe Atkinson. So we brought him on to do a proof of concept. And that was originally funded by Nouns just with three ETH. So I basically funded a Travala.com account with that ETH. And then it was stored as US dollars for Joe, and he used it to travel to the contests that he needed to go to. So that, Pannonian Challenge in Croatia, to a number of FIS World Tour events throughout Europe. And then, of course, he just recently went to Argentina to the World Skate Games, and I think he placed fourth, maybe fifth. But it was very simple, it was just like, let's just put some money in an account and he can use it to travel. And as things have evolved, we've seen many different types of proposals come into the DAO. And at the moment, we essentially have people go to a page where they write a proposal, it gets submitted, our community vote with their NARS NFTs. We have two collections. We have the OG collection, which is before I ever understood that this could be a DAO and it was just an art project. And now we have the NARS that you'll see getting around on social media and OpenSea and all the likes. And people use those to cast their votes. And then once the votes are done, if there's enough votes for, the funds get dispersed to whoever made the proposal. So a lot of the time, there's a really steep onboarding curve for these athletes because quite often they're new to crypto. And everything we've done so far has been word of mouth ever since Dave Bashinsky rocked up in our Discord one day. For reference, Dave is the first person to ever do a flip trick down El Toro, which is a very famous spot. A lot of, if you're a skateboarder out there, you obviously know it. And he's just been telling people about us, and then the people he's told have told other people, and this sort of word of mouth marketing has been an incredible thing for us. And I guess over time, we've seen all sorts of different proposals come in from different types of sports, different projects, whether it's film projects or skate park refurbishments or larger events like I Love 15 in Brazil, which is on in a week, by the way. And yeah, it's sort of evolving every day as we learn more about how hard it can be to onboard people to Web3.
Super cool. Okay, so you don't necessarily have to come in and look for a full, sponsorship. You can actually come in and say, "Hey, I have an event or I have a film that I want to make," and you can submit a proposal to the NARS DAO for just that one initiative to be funded.
Yeah, that's right. That's what, like, recently we've seen a lot more of that kind of stuff because people are realizing that, this is a collective of people who really care about community and care about each other. And you can have such a greater impact by doing something like an event in your community where everyone benefits and everyone gets to share in the love that is NARS as a brand and as a community. And it's also been such a great learning curve. Like we support a skater named Tom Raw from San Diego, California. He does graphic design for the Barracks, who are like a massive skating media brand with like 3 million Instagram followers and all this sort of stuff. He came in through word of mouth via Dave Pashinsky. And he was interested in getting involved, but he'd never had any experience in crypto at all. So we've basically been mentoring him, teaching him about, all the safety and the security of using, Ethereum and wallets like MetaMask and all those sorts of things. And through that process, he's been riding a skateboard in his tutorial videos that's an exact replica of my Nouns head. And it has NARS branding on it. And in just 9 or 10 weeks, he's grown a tutorials page on Instagram from like 0 to 58,000, I think it is, followers. And we've been there with him for that journey. And that's an example of someone doing something where they're giving back to their community through a project, through his tutorials project. Because like if you know Tom Raw, like he can land like basically any flip trick in the book is insane. But then there's also things like more recently with I mentioned before we're sponsoring I Love 15, which is a Coletivo 15 annual event in Brazil. And it's essentially this celebration of the legalization of skating in Rio because it was outlawed for many, many years. And this year there's like a 10th anniversary celebration with all these amazing things going on. And we're getting a permanent sculpture placed in the town square where all the skaters go for this event that'll attract 1,000 skaters and many more people in the crowd. And you'll be able to see it from aerial shots above, and it's a pair of noggles, the Nouns style glasses. That's also a skatable, obstacle. So we're doing all these things that are like giving, positive vibes and public goods out to the commons, and in return, we get this sort of like brand recognition that comes with it, and it's been really special.
I love it. It's super cool. What's, you said the most, sometimes these athletes don't actually really know anything about crypto. And, this past week has been quite an interesting week, to say the least, just for the broader crypto space. What's kind of like the reaction? Obviously, that it's, setting up a MetaMask and getting Ethereum and purchasing an NFT is not the most straightforward, easy process as it is today. But as you kind of onboard these individuals and they start to understand what's going on, and then obviously they're seeing the community and the culture that's, percolating around, especially what you guys are doing, what's kind of the response for these athletes?
Yeah, speaking of this, like last week, it's been insane. You know, everything that's happened with FTX and just the general market sentiment, it's crazy. All that said, it hasn't really affected our community all that much. You know, like they don't seem to really care too much about what's going on with billionaires and their deep pockets. Well, now shallow pockets. And you know, I've been at Token 2049 and NFT London over the last couple of weeks, and it's all anyone talks about. So the way that things happen within NAS, that I think it's quite unique, is but even within the Nounish sort of the Nouns ecosystem and the Nouniverse, as we call it, we have a clear focus and a mission. So we're not really too bothered by what's happening, like specific to crypto. And a lot of that has to do with like the process that we've evolved into over the last 6 months. And we do things like these events where it's a community activation. Everyone who arrives at the event collects a POAP. And if you're familiar with POAP, shout out Patricio and the team. You don't have to be onboarded into crypto to collect a POAP. You know, you can get the app, you can input your email, you can do all these like Web 2 activities to collect this proof of attendance pin, essentially. It's like a little badge, a digital badge. And by doing so, you're taking that first step that sort of introduces you to a digital asset. And after that, you can sort of follow up with further steps that slowly get you onto Ethereum. And it's done in such a way where instead of leading with all this like technical jargon, you're just leading with like, how cool is this little thing that you got for coming to the event? And by the way, you did a really cool trick, and our community ambassador wants to give you this like special POAP that's just for you and what you did. So we've sort of found that abstracting away some of the crypto stuff and then bringing it in a more like thoughtful and considerate way has been really huge. And it's also mostly about us showing the impact that crypto and Web3 can have on the world when you have a group of people with the right intentions and great tools. Nouns DAO and all the infrastructure that enables NAS DAO is something new. It's NFT governed treasury. It's a new form of identity. It's all these interesting aspects of Web3 that, funnily enough, have really close ties with skateboarding. If you think about when you're skateboarding and you're approaching like a seven stair, for example, and you may have only ever ollied over a five stair, right? You know that the first few times you're going to axe yourself on the concrete and it's going to hurt. So, but you have this resilience that's built in. You have this spirit within you that's just like willing to give it a go. And even if you fall, you get back up and you try again. And there's something really akin to sort of crypto culture with skateboarding. And we've really seen that. Skating obviously being a big part of my life and sort of core to what NAS is all about. But that definitely translates well to a lot of other extreme sports as well. And more than anything else, it's an art form. You know, if you're expressing yourself on a board or on wheels, or on a bike, or jumping out of a plane, or whatever it is you do to express yourself, that's another really interesting parallel with artists who have entered into the NFT space. So we've been able to learn a lot from sort of the NFT movement, the way that artists were on board by interesting platforms such as Foundation and SuperRare, and we've just been learning from those who went before us and leveraging all the tools at our disposal to make it a more welcoming and comforting environment for the people that we idolize. You know, we're stoked that these people who create a beautiful, amazing art that we love to consume by, you know, throwing their bodies into crazy situations. We love that they're here with us, and you know, we're doing everything we can to give back to them as well.
Right. I think there's something to be said about when you are forming a community around something larger than speculation. There becomes to be a more built-in resilience to some of the turmoil that we're seeing in the space right now, because it's not about that. It's more about expression and art, and I think that, it's interesting, like, seeing what the NFT community is kind of rallying around right now, and where, like, the crypto space is, right? It almost feels like there's two worlds right now. It's like crypto NFT, or I'm sorry, crypto Twitter, and then, like, NFT Twitter, and it starts to bleed at times, but you don't see as much of the everything's going to zero feel in the NFT space, because some of the projects, especially projects like NARS, are more focused and centered around community, and NARS DAO specifically, it's really about getting outside and doing the thing that you love most, and everything that you guys are doing is promoting that and enabling people to do that more, which I think is beautiful. I think it's a beautiful bridge between this digital and physical world that we're kind of navigating right now.
Yeah, thanks for noticing, by the way. It's definitely something that we're sort of really proud of, is the way that our community is sort of like focused on the mission rather than the speculation side of things. And I think a lot of that is really thanks to our roots with Nouns. So as a Nouner myself, like, I love to get involved in the governance. I love helping people get their ideas funded. I've collaborated on multiple proposals with people. I've given feedback where I can, and it's really this like collective creation sort of vibe. It's not so much about like buying something for the hope that it goes up, because
Right.
you can sort of like filter out a lot of that by being thoughtful about how you structure your vision, mission, and values, and all these sort of cliche things that unfortunately a lot of NFT projects just completely overlook. And like, I've been building communities my whole life. I used to have this huge skateboarding community in Australia that started out on Facebook groups, and I don't have Facebook anymore, but it was just so crazy. Like, a friend of mine sent me a photo the other day where a skateboard that I collaborated on as an art piece like 15 years ago is still circulating around Facebook through these kids back in my where I used to live many years ago, and it's literally being traded. Like, people are buying it as this collector's item. So it's like, I'm not like some famous skateboarder or anything. I was just a really committed community guy, and I guess all that sort of experience over the years, and then the deep experience in crypto and also NFTs, has sort of taught me how to instill vision in people, and how to, really sync the vibe and be able to captivate people with the mission that you've laid out and what you're trying to achieve. But after that, like, I can only set the example, and then it's really been up to the community. And I got to thank everyone involved at NARS. I think there's around 600 or 700 people at the moment that are part of our community, and they're the ones that makes it happen. Every day they're in the Discord, like, nurturing and onboarding people and doing all sorts of crazy stuff and partaking in our auctions, which are just like so much fun as well. So there's this really supportive environment of people that are just like keen to learn and keen to teach. And I think that's sort of what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, especially over here at Lunar Crush, we say that there is no crypto without community. And when starting these projects, I don't know if the community is always thought about. You can sometimes see it as more of just like these speculative things where, it's fun art and it's cool and that's great, but the community that then comes to be around that project maybe isn't always the most desirable. And I've spent a decent amount of time in your guys' Discord, and you're right, it is it's everybody in there is really friendly, and it's not super overwhelming, but it's super engaged. It's really cool. So I guess my question from that is, Gammy, what does it mean to be nounish?
It's such a good question, and it's like so many people have such a hard time answering it. But I tend to keep things pretty simple, right? If you look up, I'm not saying that the dictionary meaning of nouns is the meaning, but it's a good inspiration point. So nouns are literally people, places, and things. And I think to be nounish, it's about doing three things. It's about finding your people, exploring new places, and doing your thing. And if you look around the nouns community and the different things that have popped up and what's happening, it's very much about that. It's about the people, the places, and the things. That's interesting because there's this strong affinity with public goods and doing good for the public commons and, producing open source tools that anyone can use and producing inclusive events and inclusive media and all these sorts of things that sort of spread the good vibes around the internet. And yeah, so for me, nounish is really sort of wrapped up in that way. And the other thing I would say is like, it's one of these things where everyone has their own flavor. So if you go on to Twitter and you see people with nounish PFPs, give them a follow and just check out the things they're doing. And you'll very quickly understand what it means to be nounish. And you'll even more importantly define your own meaning of what it means to be nounish. And you'll be very proud of that as well.
There's so many parallels from just what it means to be an action sport athlete, right? So, I mean, I grew up skating and surfing, and I just feel like everything that you have explained what nounish means and what this project means is the backbone of what it means to be an extreme athlete. And I don't know if that same mentality and feeling is always conveyed through other traditional sports like team sports like football and baseball. Maybe it's because of the environment in which you do these sports, right? Whether it's out in the ocean or at a local high school that you're not supposed to be skating at, or atop a mountain, and there is that different kind of fear factor that's involved with these activities than maybe like an organized recreational sport. But it feels like to me that just all of this ethos needs, like all of crypto just needs a little bit more of this. And I think that the values that you guys are built upon. It's not even that you've adopted it. You're built upon these values, are just really good, like life values to live by. And it's exciting to see a project, in crypto built around this. Not saying that there isn't other projects, but it's just exciting to see something like this, develop. So with that kind of in mind, where do you see NARS DAO in maybe 5 or 10 years? Like what's your perfect scenario? You had mentioned that the Noggles are becoming synonymous or similar to like the Nike swoosh, but I would imagine that you have a different vision for NARS DAO than maybe where Nike is today.
Yeah, it's such a good question because we've actually been meeting up while I've been in London with a bunch of the community who are core contributors. Shout out to Alberto and shout out to ACFA and just like big thank you to you guys for like the time that you've put in with me while we've been able to spend time together in person. And with that sort of preamble. It's probably a good chance to share a little bit about some of the things that we've been sort of mapping out for the future. But I guess, this is not my own words, but someone said something along the lines once of like Red Bull of Web3. Like, I understand that, but it's not like what I envision for the future specifically. What I would love to see is I think it was ACFA who actually said this. So, like, curating street culture on chain. So I think it's a matter of like we want to very closely align these two worlds that we've noticed there's a really strong affinity between, which is extreme sports, especially like skateboarding and Web3 and the actual purest and like sort of decentralized version of Web3 that we know and love and we know the importance of with recent events as we're seeing with what's unfolded this week. And I guess like the way that I could see that in 5 or 10 years is if the extreme sports industries were able to be completely autonomous in this way, where they're not preyed upon by brands that don't really bring anything to the culture. Like, yeah, there's logos everywhere, but a lot of them don't make any sense, I want to see an industry where the brands that are doing well are the ones who really take the time to integrate themselves and add value. I want to see a marketplace, and yes, I mean that as in gnarly marketplace. I want to see NAS as this layer between the brands of the world and the grassroots communities that we help to foster and help to flourish. And I want to see them engaging with the talent that brings joy to the people that are part of our community and the greater community as a whole. I want to see them doing, partnerships, and I want to see them doing work together that's meaningful and that actually fits the vibe. And I want to see a future where we can celebrate the beautiful art that extreme athletes bring to us, and this sort of community, this sense of community that comes with it, where you feel you have a really safe space to express yourself, no matter how, like, what, no matter how you present yourself, how you express yourself, what style you have. It's a very inclusive and empowering community. And I guess on the more like the less airy-fairy sort of visionary side of things, I can definitely see us having like, this version of like a crowdsourced, community curated MTV of extreme sports, and I can see that being a really interesting platform on which many other businesses could be built and many interesting deals could be made. And the Shrediverse, the marketplace, whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of things to be done. And from a mission perspective, I'd just love to see more people touching grass. But in my case, I'd prefer to touch concrete. So getting outside and less like, hunched over our laptops and more outside enjoying ourselves.
It's all great things, man. I think, like I said, I think just we all need a little bit more of that in all of our daily lives. There's typically not a point where you're getting too much of that. I haven't heard somebody ever say, "Hey, you need to stop being outside and go stare at a computer." So, it's it. I think we the more that we can embrace that and the more that we can adopt it, the happier and the better that we're all going to be. While we kind of wrap this up, tell me a little bit about, we talked a little bit about how athletes can get involved. How can other people get involved? So you've got, we've got the daily or the, it's not daily. It's how often are the auctions happening right now?
Yeah, so we actually have what I branded the Narving, which is it's inspired by Bitcoin halvings. So our auctions started off as every 10 minutes. So there was a NAR every 10 minutes. And then after 1,000 auctions, the duration doubles. So the next 1,000 auctions were 20 minutes long. And now we're currently at 40-minute auctions. And that curve persists forever. So after these next 1,000 auctions, they'll go to 80 minutes and then 160 minutes, 320 minutes, and so on. Eventually, when we're at around 10,000 NFTs, it's going to be like a day or two per auction. So it'll slow down with the onboarding. That's obviously to help incentivize people that were kind enough to give us our trust earlier on. And it's actually been really interesting to see how that's unfolded, because a lot of people who were there since the beginning scooped up a bunch of extra NARs, and quite often they use them to help onboard their friends, onboard new people who show up and sort of have no idea about what's going on. And yeah, that's the main way. So if you head to nars.com, it's sort of like our brand website that sort of shows all the information that you need to know. And then you can sort of click through and through the join button, and there's a bit more information. But if you had it eventually points you to nars.wtf, which is where the live auctions are happening. As I had mentioned earlier, it's on Ethereum, so people that are collecting our NFTs are generally people that spend most of their time on Ethereum and using, MetaMask and Rainbow Wallet and that kind of stuff. And we're on Discord, and that's at discord.gg/NARS. Just I know with my Australian accent, sometimes it can be a bit tricky. Like, people think I mean NARS the rapper, NAS, but I mean NARS,
Yes,
GNARS.
or as if you're maybe a kook, you would say Gnars. But it's actually Gnars, GNAR.WTF, right? And it looks like NAR number 2921 just wrapped up. So we're coming up on that 1,000 mark where the auctions will then double in length again. Is that correct?
It's not quite on the on those 1,000 marks, because what actually happens is every NFT ending in 7 actually goes to our treasury and is held on behalf of our athletes. So it's like an onboarding fund that we use to help newbies get involved, those who can contribute on the shredding side of things. But yeah, it's easy enough to check on the contract, sort of where we're up to, and we've got a bunch of front end upgrades that are coming very soon, thanks to Sam Mason Vicaries, who used to work at Foundation and Cloudflare and Rainbow, and he's a super talented developer who's done a bunch of refactoring and overhauling stuff to make our site much better. So I'm really excited when that comes out, and we'll have a little counter to show how long until the next narving and a bunch of other useful features. And we'll keep on improving as we can.
I love it. I love it. I can't say enough good things about this. I stumbled upon it on Twitter one day and went and bought a couple from OpenSea, and then I've participated and won a couple of these auctions, and it's just a lot of fun. Spending time in the Discord as well is just cool. And for me, anything to kind of help and support any kind of extreme athletes is always a step in the right direction for me. So, do you want to do any other shameless plugs for maybe your own Twitter or anything else, somewhere to follow you?
I guess my main place to find me is on Twitter. It's if I give out business cards, that's all I include on the card. But it's it just for a bit of context. So, like, Garmy, the name comes from origami, but Garmy is also a Korean word that means impeccable taste. There's some fried chicken restaurants in Australia named Garmy as well. But I was originally doing an art project on Ethereum called 0x Igami. So that's what I actually use as my Twitter handle nowadays, which is 0xIGAMI. And then just adopted the name Garmy as my Web3 name. That's the best place to find me. Otherwise, nars.com. So that's GNARS.com. And pretty much I'm focused on those things at the moment. And from my Twitter, you can find, like, everything else that I'm working on, a couple of other smaller projects that I mentioned briefly at the start. But that's enough shilling, I think.
Yeah, and those other projects too are interesting as well. It's just exciting to see people push the boundaries with the technology as well, and not just doing these copycat projects. So yeah, I love it. I'm a big supporter of what you got going on. Gami, thanks a bunch for coming on. I really appreciate you taking time. I know that you're out in London and running around doing a lot of different things. So it's awesome to be able to talk to you here. And we're looking forward to the growth and future of NARSDAO.
Yeah, Ian, it's been an absolute pleasure, man, and thank you so much for inviting me on. I've been actually using Luna Crush over the last couple of years and enjoy it. And if I'm on, if anyone does jump over to my Twitter, and you want to chat, I'm always down for a call, so you can board slide into my DMs anytime you
I love it.
like.
Awesome. Well, thanks for everyone for tuning in, and Gami, I'll chat to you backstage. Cheers, all.